How is wind competing in the U.S. energy market? And we know microplastics are bad and pollution is bad, but what about them together? Hey y'all, welcome to the Climate Recap from the Beckosphere Climate Corner, your go-to place for international and U.S.-based climate news. I'm Becky Hogue, a science writer. Today is Monday, April 18th. Let's jump right into the news you need to start your day. Let's start today with some studies. A new study published in the journal Nature thinks atmospheric rivers are responsible for a recent influx in ice sheet collapse in Antarctica. I like Axios's description of ice shelves as doorstops because they hold back ice from falling into the ocean, which then contributes to sea level rise. The atmospheric rivers bring moist, hot air from the tropics and subtropics to the poles. The study says it's causing 60% of the further collapse of the Larsen C ice shelf. Larsen shelves A and B have already collapsed in the early 2000s, likely because of atmospheric rivers too. Unfortunately, cacti aren't even enjoying climate change. A new study out of the University of Arizona predicts that up to 60% of cactus species will be at risk of extinction by mid-century. It's a misconception that cactuses are only found where it's hot. Some are found in tropical rainforests, some in higher altitudes. And soil organisms are also struggling with climate change. We're talking lichen, fungi, mosses, green and blue algae, and other microbes. They create what is called biocrust, which is necessary for storing greenhouse gases and growing life. It also keeps deserts from expanding. All this, and it only represents 12% of the world's land. Okay, let's talk about some climate victories, all today in the U.S. The Big Apple is about to get greener. New York regulators approved a $4.5 billion plan for New York City to get hydropower from Canada through a transmission line and to build more than 20 wind and solar projects, which will be delivered through a second line. The second path is called Clean Path New York, and both projects will help the city's power grid move towards its goal of reaching net zero emissions by 2040. New York City currently gets 85% of its energy from fossil fuels. These two projects will hopefully reduce its reliance by over 50% by 2030. The hydropower project, called the Champaign-Hudson Power Express, is expected to be completed in 2025. It was touch and go a bit for hydropower after the environmental group River Keeper switched its view on the project from support to arguing against it for the sake of the rivers. Originally, the plan did not mean the construction of any new dams, but now River Keeper doesn't trust that that promise will be kept by the company Hydro-Québec. Building dams can significantly harm the local and downstream environments, and flooding areas can lead to emissions. As the vegetation decomposes, it releases CO2 and methane. However, Canadian dams probably won't emit as much as dams built in warmer areas. Anyways, we'll have to see if this does result in more dams being built. This energy project is meant to replace the energy generation lost by the closure of the Indian Point nuclear plant. And the U.S. Energy Information Agency announced that on March 29th, wind represented the second largest supplier of electricity generation in the U.S., second to natural gas. And this happened again on April 12th. While it's just barely above coal and nuclear, this shows a shift in the country's energy generation. Now over to some climate fails, and the first one is dark. Nearly 60% of the 358 human rights activists that were killed in 2021 were land, environment, and indigenous rights defenders, according to Frontline Defenders. That percent could be higher, as some places report better than others. There's very little data, particularly out of Africa, on environmental defenders' deaths. The deadliest country for this group of heroes is Colombia, just like it was in 2020, which was the deadliest year for land, environment, and indigenous rights defenders in known history. Mexico and Brazil are in second and third place. Meanwhile, the biomass industry might be behind the European Union's watered-down biodiversity rules that could limit the amount of wood taken from woodlands, according to documents leaked to De Smog. This is particularly the wood-burning power plant Drax and the U.S. Industrial Pellet Association. Burning wood pellets, which is not good for the environment or human health, represents 13% of the EU's quote-unquote renewable energy supply. This demand will grow as the EU tries to shift away from Russian fuel. Over to Texas. It's been 5 years since Hurricane Harvey hit, and many people in Houston, Texas are still waiting for help. The federal government did allocate $9.3 billion to help rebuild and prepare for the next storm. But city and regional governments have delivered very little of that money. Hurricane Harvey flooded nearly 100,000 homes in Houston. Now to Pennsylvania. A new report by the Environmental Health Project lays out how the Pennsylvania Department of Health, the state General Assembly, and three governors ignored or gave underwhelming responses to public health concerns. Fracking has been connected to a higher rate of infant mortality, lower birth rates, depression, and hospitalizations for skin and urinary issues. There are more than 13,000 wells in Pennsylvania. You can read more about that in the source list in the description. Nationally, climate experts say that President Joe Biden's new push to expand liquid natural gas, or LNG, shipments in Europe goes directly against the U.S.'s climate goals because it encourages more reliance on fossil fuels. The U.S. climate envoy John Kerry agrees. Meanwhile, environmental groups sue the Environmental Protection Agency for failing to properly enforce the Clean Air Act's regulatory haze rule. The EPA amended these rules in 2017 to tackle the pollution that obstructs visibility in national parks, wildlife refuges, and other wilderness areas, and extended the window in which states submitted their pollution reduction plans through July 2021. Well, it's 2022 now, and 34 states have not submitted a plan. The suit was issued by the Center for Biological Diversity, Environmental Defense Fund, National Parks Conservation Association, and Sierra Club, and calls on the EPA to immediately enforce the rule. Finally, to some chemical news. A study published in the journal Chemispheres earlier this year found that microplastics are threat multipliers because they drag other types of pollution with them. This poses a greater threat to both the environment and human health. In the ocean, toxic compounds that hitch a ride on microplastics can make the material 10 times more toxic than it would normally be. This could also apply to the human body. As a reminder, microplastics have now been found in human blood. This study is one of only a handful looking at the combined impact of plastics and other forms of pollution, where most look at either or. And the EPA reports that breathing in formaldehyde causes cancer. This new draft ties formaldehyde in with the strongest cancer classifications. Formaldehyde is used in home building products. It also can cause sensory irritation, decreased lung functions, and increased prevalence of asthma. There has been a long history of organizations opposing the effort by the EPA to research formaldehyde cancer impacts, including from the National Academy of Sciences in 2011. Besides the Academy, the opposition has mostly been from those tied to the chemical industry. Let's finish today's episode with a bit of information about the new director for the Bureau of Land Management. Tracy Manning is the first permanent director of the BLM since 2017. Her previous job was the senior advisor for the conservation policy for the National Wildlife Foundation. In her career in and out of that job, she pushed for the removal of a Superfund pollution site and worked to balance forestry and recreation. High Country News interviewed her recently on her plans for the BLM, which I recommend checking out. And that was your climate news for Monday, April 18th. If you like the work I do, please follow this podcast, give it a 5-star rating, leave a review, and consider checking out the Becosphere Climate Corner YouTube channel. Remember to talk about the climate crisis every single day and to support your local news organizations. Bye for now.